Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City, a 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime. Kansas City wins the game.
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Excited to be here with you guys on this wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. We got a lot to get into in today's show. Coming up in about 30 minutes or so, we are going to head to Baltimore, Maryland, to be joined by Tim Barbalace to check in on the Baltimore Ravens. It would appear that Lamar Jackson is going to miss week 5 of the NFL season and potentially more time. The Ravens have an absolute must-win game coming up on Sunday. They play the Houston Texans. They have been two of the more disappointing teams so far in the AFC. It certainly feels like a panic bowl. It feels like an elimination game for one of the two teams that won their division last year. Mitchell Schwartz is going to join us in studio coming up today in the 3 o'clock hour to talk about the offensive line and the run game. Joshua Briscoe from the Chiefs Radio Network is also going to be on the show. We got a lot planned today. Rob told me that he has 5 Baltimore sports talk calls today. So we got you guys covered on this wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. Coming up in just a bit, we're going to talk about the Kansas City Royals as their season has officially ended. And we heard from the general manager of the team, JJ Piccolo. That's where we will begin things today. But before we do that, I need you guys to do me a couple of favors. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. Number two, I need you to tell one friend to check out the show. And you know what? I need you to remember that the open of the show is brought to you by our friends over at The Other Place. Stop by, grab yourself something to eat, grab yourself something to drink, watch a little bit of football, watch some playoff baseball with our friends over at The Other Place. The general manager of the Royals, JJ Piccolo, spoke today. And you know what? You might not want to hear this, but we are currently living in one of the golden eras for Kansas City Royals baseball. They have had back-to-back winning seasons. Now, this season is not what I wanted. It's not what you wanted. But the Royals did finish with a winning record. That is the 6th time they have done that in the last 25 years. We have not had a lot of winning baseball teams in Kansas City. We got one this season. Here's what JJ Piccolo had to say.
No, that's the goal. I mean, that's what we're trying to do, sustain winning over a long period of time. So while we're not playing in playoffs this year, I think it's something to build off of. Q knows. I mean, the last couple of weeks, every night, I'm like, we got to keep pushing. Like, we need to have a winning season. Winning on Sunday, it wasn't like the ultimate goal, but I was really proud that we went out and played the way we did on Sunday to finish with a winning record, because we know there's not a big difference between an 80 and 82 win team, like the talent, the execution, whatever happened, and an 82 and 80 win team. But at least we can hold our heads high and walk into next year thinking about how do we get better, how do we build on this. So it's two winning seasons in a row. And we believe it's the start of many winning seasons in a row. I think we're all going to come back to a, I don't want to say there was a, not motivation, but a more motivated group because we didn't make the playoffs. There's going to be more of a chip on their shoulders to prove that they belong in the playoffs. I don't think these guys are real happy that we're 80 and 82. Like, that's not what they're talking more about, not making the playoffs.
I want to take a trip back in time for just a bit to remind you of how bleak things were for the Royals. Right before COVID, the Royals won 58 and 59 games in back-to-back seasons. The Royals were as bad in 2018 and 2019 than any season than when you were a kid. They were absolutely dreadful. Fast forward past COVID, 74, 65, 56 wins. The Royals won 56 games two seasons ago. They won 86 games last year. They won 82 games this year. I say this in football, but it applies to all sports. There are two steps that you have to take. It is from going from a really bad team like the Royals were, like the Lions were for most of our childhood, to now being a good, consistent, winning team. Then there is that next step. How do you go from being an 86-82 win team? How do you win 91-95 or more games? That is what the Royals are trying to figure out. So again, I understand that this season did not meet everybody's expectations. You would have loved to go back to the postseason, win a series, and host postseason baseball in Kansas City. But the fact that the Royals gained in attendance numbers, had another season of winning baseball, and at this point, I think we all know what the Royals need to focus on in the offseason, is a positive step in the right direction for building a winning foundation, which I think the Royals are trying to do. Now, this is where I think you're going to be a little bit upset, and you know what? I'm not mad at you for having this opinion. You know how the Royals offense was for most of the season? It was bad. And there was a time where the number public enemy number one was the hitting coach for the Royals. Well, JJ McCullough was asked the question, hey, is that guy coming back? Well, he is.
Most of our staff's going to be coming back. We've got to make some decisions on the hitting side. What I will say is Alec Zumwalt's going to be our hitting coach. How do we support Alec in a way that allows him to have the most success with the roster that we have? Those decisions haven't been made yet, and we still have to work through that. It might just be tweaking our staff. How do we tweak the staff? What don't we have? What can we do from an analyst standpoint, from a holistic standpoint to try to help our offense improve? We have a lot of belief in what Alec has done in the minor leagues and how he's led the minor league department now in the major leagues. Guys have gotten better. You know, there are guys that have improved. I mentioned the four guys, and I don't think we can ignore that.
I'm going to give you guys some stats because this is going to be thing one and thing two that the Royals need to fix in 2026. If you look at the production that they got from left field this season, left field hit .224 for the Royals this season, .291 on base percentage, and a slugging percentage of .348. They got 47 RBIs this season from left field. If you want to go over to the other side of the diamond, it was even worse. A .197 batting average, .272 on base percentage, a slugging percentage of .343. The number one and number two thing that the Royals have to do in 2026, if they are going to take this step forward and continue to be a consistently winning team, to be a team that could be playing either today or tomorrow in the baseball playoffs, they have to fix left and right field. Now, I know it's going to cost money, and I know they're a small market team. I don't care. If you want to be a consistent, proven winning team, you cannot be having your left and right field hitting .224 and .197 with minimal pop and can't get on base. That's where this season went left. They were good at first base, good at shortstop. They got good production from third base. Center field was good. If you were looking at where there is noticeable growth for this team, how they can take a step forward in 2026, you either have to figure it out in left and or right field. And I will say this, we all believe in Jack Caglione, And Jack Caglione Day was a lot of fun. Their sole plan to fixing left or right field cannot be Jack has it. No. You can't assume that Jack has it. He has not proven that he has it. If he gets to that point, sure, you let him go out there. We tried it. It didn't work. Now you got to go for an out-of-town solution. You tried the in-town solution. It didn't work. So I don't know what you need to do. Cobble some coins together. I don't know what you need to do. Get your money right. But once we get to the hot stove, once we get to free agency, you got to pool some resources together and you got to outbid teams. You got to go out there and spend a little money in your outfield to help solidify your lineup. It cannot be the reason why you were watching postseason baseball. The rest of the team is ready. The starting pitching was ready. The bullpen was ready. Most of your lineup was ready. You got a negative contribution for most of the season from your outfield. Last thing here from JJ Piccolo. Here he is talking about what the plan is going to be to add talent to the roster.
Yeah, I think when you look at some of the free agents to be, I mean, there's going to be some heavy price tags out there, and the supply and demand may not match up, which makes it a little bit more difficult to meet those asking prices. So we do have to think about all avenues, which the next one would be trade. You know, we do have to think about that, and I like to think we haven't shown an unwillingness to do that. I think we've made some moves along the way that have helped us. So that is an avenue we have to explore. I think once we get into the off season, dust settles early November, we'll have a more clear picture of what other teams may be doing and who they may be willing to trade. If it's not there, then you dive into free agency again and try to figure out how you can make your team marginally better if it's not a big name. So we just have to explore all of those different ways to make the team better.
I don't know if I've ever told you guys this, but one of my favorite movies is Four Brothers. I love that movie. I really do. I reference it because there's a line in there from Andre 3000's character that says, if you want to cross the bridge, you got to pay the toll. So he mentions, it's going to be some high price tags out there. Well, that's what it costs. That's what it costs. It's funny the mirror image conversation that we have about college sports and NIL. Man, it's expensive to go get a quarterback. Well, yeah, do you want a good one? Well, if you want a good one, then it costs. Because everybody's paying. The Guardians are paying. The Tigers. Everybody's got money. Are you serious about being a consistent winner? Are you serious about being a playoff team and taking that next step? Well, it costs money to do it. So that's where we are with the Royals. We'll continue to talk about the Royals throughout the course of the day. I believe Vern's going to join us potentially at some point today. The Royals kind of had their exit interviews today. We're wrapping up the season for the Royals. The Royals go 82-80. We'll talk Chiefs here coming up in a little bit. We'll also talk about the main story from Monday night yesterday, which we might have seen the final game of Tyreek Hill's career. We got a lot to get into, but I don't want you guys to think just because it's football season that we have forgotten the rule on this show. Rob, hit me!
We're where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals. If you want to be.
Did you guys know 11 years ago today, you were excited about the Royals because they were getting ready for their wild card matchup against the Oakland Athletics? Rob, give us the lineup!
The lineup on Wild Card Day in 2014, Carrington goes as following. Leading off at shortstop, Alcides Escobar.
People said I used to look like him, or he used to look like me, one of the two.
Batting second in right field, Nori Aoki.
I forgot about him. What's he up to?
Batting third in center field, Lorenzo Cain.
That's Lorenzo Cain, man. I'll never forget this. Were you at the rally that they had at the end of the 2014
the
season?
The losers rally,
the
yeah.
Losers rally that they had. You know who got the loudest ovation that day?
Lorenzo Cain. Batting fourth, the first baseman, Eric Hosmer.
My guy.
Batting fifth, the designated hitter, Billy Butler.
Country breakfast.
Batting sixth.
Remember he stole a base that postseason?
Crazy time.
He stole a base.
Batting six, the left fielder, Alex Gordon. Batting seventh, the catcher, Salvador Perez.
I mean, still playing for the Royals today.
Batting eighth, the second baseman, Omar Infante.
Should have been all-star.
And batting ninth, the third baseman, Mike Moustakas.
What a team. What a lineup. What a squad. 11 years ago today was the wild card game between the Royals and the Oakland A's. We'll continue to pay tribute to that day. Still one of the best sporting events that I've ever been to. Coming up on the other side, let's get to the NFL. We may have seen the end of Tyreek Hill yesterday. We'll talk about it. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. Tune in Mondays at 4 to hear the play-by-play voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holtis, on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We have, count them, 5 Baltimore Sports Talk radio calls. We'll do that coming up at the top of the hour at 3 o'clock. We're going to head to Baltimore coming up in about, 5-7 minutes. Tim Barbalace is going to call in. We'll get his thoughts right now on the Ravens. Are they pressing the panic button? How do they feel about Lamar? Where are they currently at? So before we do that, I want to spend a little bit of time talking about Tyreek Hill. Now, I am not a doctor, but the injury, it looked pretty gruesome yesterday. And Dr. David Chow, who is a doctor, listen to what he said about Tyreek Hill and what the injury could mean for him long term.
The surgery today is for a repair. Repair of the avulsed ligaments and structures on the outside of the knee. Repair early, reconstruct late. Tyreek Hill will have multiple surgeries to get this knee problem fixed. Nick Chubb had multiple surgeries to get his knee problem fixed. The fact of the matter is, no one does reconstructive surgery this early. You wait for swelling to go down. Repairs. So he's having what can be repaired on the outside and back of his knee. Going to miss at least a year, could be two. This could mean the end of his career. Let's hope not. It certainly is career threatening. Anytime you have a major knee injury to a wide receiver, it is by definition career threatening.
Tyreek Hill is 31 years old. So if we are talking about him missing a year or two, Tyreek comes back at 33 years old playing football. It certainly feels like Monday Night Football was the end of us watching Tyreek Hill. A couple of different things. You know that we love a good Hall of Fame argument on this show. If Tyreek Hill never plays another down of football, regardless of how you feel about him off the field, that player is a Hall of Famer. He has been a major part of a Super Bowl team. He was a major part of a team that went to another Super Bowl. 5 times he has been named to the first team All-Pro, one time he has been named to the second team All-Pro. I know you guys tell me that Pro Bowls don't matter, but he's been to 8 of them in his career. He led the NFL in touchdowns and receiving yards. He's also on the All-Decade team for the 2010s. If you also go back to a couple of years ago for Tyreek Hill, he had one of the best wide receiver seasons that we have ever seen a wide receiver have. A couple of years ago, Tyreek was dominant. 120 catches, 1,800 yards, and 13 touchdowns. He averaged 112 yards a game. He is one of the best wide receivers that we have ever seen in the history of the National Football League. So I am not opening up. I am not entertaining any conversation if you are arguing on the other side of if Tyreek Hill is a Hall of Famer. He absolutely is a Hall of Famer. That's number one. Number two with Tyreek Hill that also seems really, really important. If you play football, you need to get every single dollar out of playing football that you can, because in an instant, your career can change. I know we want to see these guys on the field. I want to see them on the field. But I understand the business side of it. I understand at times being selfish and only thinking about you and your family and what you want, because the game, it takes, it gives a whole lot too. But very rarely in your football life do you ever have the leverage in which you can squeeze everything out of the game that you can. Tyreek did that. Tyreek has made a lot of money for himself, a lot of money for his family. And if he never plays again, he has set himself up very, very well that if he takes care of his money and takes care of his business, he doesn't have to work a whole lot between now and the end of his life. That's what you do this for. One wrong move, one landing on somebody's foot, you can be done playing football. Tyreek was actually having a really good game on Monday Night Football. That was as sharp and as fresh as Tyreek had looked in a while. The offense was moving. Tua looked good. Next thing you know, knee injury. You could be missing the next 2 years of your career. You could be done. Get every single penny that you can get out of football that you can, because you have absolutely no clue. In the blink of an eye, your career can be over. Somebody rolls up on you wrong, you twist your knee, you're done. You are never the same player. This is a player who has had world-class track speed. Track speed. He had a significant leg injury. He's done. It's over. It was a phenomenal run. It really was a phenomenal run from Tyreek Hill on the field, but it's over. So I'm not opening up any, what about, no. Tyreek Hill is one of the three best wide receivers of his generation. He should be a Hall of Famer. If you look at his resume, look at comparable players, look at his impact, look at his prime, his peak, I'm not arguing if Tyreek Hill is a Hall of Famer or not. Absolutely. And I get it. I know we hate it. And yes, you signed a contract and you should adhere to the contract. We don't feel that way when teams cut players who are under contract all the time. If you got a chance to get a little bit more money out of your employer for playing football, you should. Because trust me, they're getting everything they can out of you and your body. So sometimes the game is the game. And if the game's going to be the game for the employer, we also got to let it be that way for the employee, who they're the ones putting their body at risk. Clark Hunt ain't out there tackling people. He ain't tackling nobody. Brett Veach ain't tackling anybody. Howie Roseman, he's not tackling anybody. The players that are getting tackled, I understand being a little bit selfish and trying to get every single thing that you can from the game of football. Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by our first guest of the day, Tim Barbalace of 105.7 The Fan out in Baltimore. Just want to get a temperature check on where the Ravens are right now as they head into week 5 of the NFL season after losing to the Kansas City Chiefs. Tim, always happy to have you join us. What's the panic level like for the Ravens right now as they head into October, staring at 1-3?
It's definitely very high. What we in these past couple of weeks have been really alarming. And I know I was on with you last week, Carrington, and I was telling you about how bad the defense was looking, and we know that the Chiefs offense had been struggling heading into that game. Well, it looked like the 2018 Chiefs offense against that Ravens defense. That's how bad it was, and now you're starting to see the injuries pile up, and the Ravens lost Quan Smith, Ronnie Stanley, Marlon Humphrey, Nate Wiggins, and of course Lamar Jackson in that game alone. Nnamdi Matabike, he pulled out for the season due to a neck injury, and who knows, it sounds like that could be a possible career-ending situation, and their entire defensive line is out. It is a complete mess in Baltimore.
I felt like Lamar had quit at the end of the Chiefs and Ravens game. Did you get that vibe? Now, do you think some of the conversation around that is quelled by the fact of he could potentially miss this game and more?
I thought that was a weird narrative, to be honest. I just think that would go against everything about Lamar Jackson and the type of competitor that he is. And look, we talked about this last week, too. We know that the Chiefs absolutely have the Ravens' number. Heading into that game, they're 1-5, and the Ravens didn't want to fall to 1-3, and the offense was really struggling in that football game. For Lamar to remove him when things were getting ugly, I never bought that. I never bought that at all. I thought that it would be an injury that would at least keep him this week against the Texans, but with the Ravens' bye week looming, they play the Texans, then they host the Rams, and then their bye week. I don't think we see Lamar Jackson until after the bye week at the earliest. You're going to play it as safe as possible with him.
Right now, we're talking to Tim Barbalace, who covers the Ravens. It would appear that Lamar Jackson is not going to play in week 5 and could potentially miss some more time this season. The comparison that I made, Tim, for this Ravens team is they feel a lot like San Francisco from last year. You remember Christian McCaffrey missed some time. Trent Williams missed some time. Brandon Ayuk had a significant injury. And that was a team that went from going to the Super Bowl to missing the postseason. There's certainly a lot of time. I don't want to completely kick dirt on this Ravens team, but just very little has gone right for them so far in the first month of the season.
Well, I agree with what you're saying, but I would also say that this was a healthy team week 1 against Buffalo. This defense hasn't been good at all. The offense, that was their performance by far of the season. Lamar Jackson's worst performance by far of the season against Kansas City. But the injuries are pile up now. To me, I don't know if this team has really recovered from that collapse in Buffalo. And I know it's, you could say butterfly effect. If they ended up hanging on to win that game, I wonder how different this looks. And now the injuries are piling up, like you're saying. But also, it's just weird right now, man. Paul had his typical Monday press conference yesterday, and he was taking shot after shot after shot at Todd Monken, the Ravens offensive coordinator, which was very shocking for me because John Harbaugh, he's been here since 2000. I can't recall him ever lashing out that much at an assistant coach. And the offense is far from the biggest issue on this football team, although there were some questionable play calling for sure. But it's the defense is on fire, but he was taken up for Zach Orr and taken up for his defense, but Todd Monken was under fire by the head coach.
Tim, aside from the long run by Justice Hill, this Ravens team was not going to run for 100 yards for the third consecutive game. Derrick Henry only got 8 carries in this game. He hasn't been super effective since week 1. It sounds crazy to even ask this question, but what happened to the run game for the Ravens? That has been their calling card, their bread and butter these last handful of seasons. They've gone away from that these last 3 weeks.
Yeah, I think there's multiple directions you can go in this one. A lot of fans are upset at the fact that they went away from Derrick Henry in that Kansas City game, and I think they did. And Henry had that big run on their first drive, which resulted in a touchdown. But they went away from him, and there were multiple third down situations in short, fourth and short, where Derrick Henry isn't on the field, which is a huge, huge head scratcher. And then the game got away from him, and Henry's not out there in passing situations. That's more Justice Hill because he's a better pass blocker. But even prior to that game, they really struggled against the Browns. That was the lowest rushing output of the Lamar Jackson era in week two. And then, of course, Detroit just ran them over. I think it's the offensive line. The offensive line is absolutely regressed from last year. It's four out of the five same starters. Now Ronnie Stanley is hurt, and that further compromises the O-line. But they're not getting much push. I think Derrick Henry has looked tentative at times, kind of tiptoeing a little too much in the backfield. But it's just a lot wrong right now. This Ravens team really looks unrecognizable to start the year.
Right now, we're talking to Tim Barbalays for a few more minutes here. Tim, I'll put you on the spot. Do you have the Ravens making the postseason? If you could look into the future, do you think they are playing in January?
I could give you a much better answer after this week. I would tell you, character, Sunday's a must win. It's a must win, and Lamar's not going to play. You welcome the Texans to town. The Texans, they just had their first win against a really bad Titans team, but that's a team that traditionally the Ravens have owned. They need to lean into the ground game, lean into winning time of possession, and just find any way to win that football game, because if you lose that one, then the Rams come to town and you're staring 1-5 in the face. And if you start 1-5, it's pretty much over at that point. The only glimmer of hope that I would say for Ravens fans is the AFC North is not any good. Cincinnati, that was an embarrassment last night on Monday Night Football. Zach Taylor might get fired after that performance. I don't know if he makes the entire season. And Pittsburgh, I'm still not really all that impressed with them. Their schedule is really soft in the beginning, and then it gets really tough in the second half, much like last year. So it wouldn't surprise me if Pittsburgh fades in the second half again. And conversely, if the Ravens can get to the bye week, their schedule does lighten up a lot after that point. But Sunday is a must win for me, man. If you lose Sunday, this thing could really, really snowball.
I'll get you out of here with this, and this is probably a premature thought, but I'll ask it anyway. I remember Andy Reid's last year in Philadelphia. He had all the success in the world. They went 4-12, and it was just time for the Eagles to move in a different direction. Could you see any scenario that that's the case? Let's say that this season completely goes off the rails for the Baltimore Ravens and they win 6 games this year. All the injuries just pile off. Do you think that would give the Ravens front office, that would give the ownership kind of the, hey, we've tried this for 15 years, Lamar's getting closer to 30, it's time for us to move in a different direction? Or is that an early season overreaction?
I'm definitely on the record going back to last week, and last week I felt much better about their postseason chances than now, but I said if the Ravens miss the playoffs, and especially if it's a 6-win season where they're not close going in with that scenario, I don't know how John Harbaugh is here in 2026. I really don't. And that's with all due respect to everything he's accomplished, and it's been a hell of a run here in Baltimore going back to 2008. But at some point, there needs to be a change. And this team went in with such high expectations this year. The roster was loaded, so everyone thought, you know, best roster in football, best roster in the Lamar Jackson era, where if they fell flat on their face, injuries or no injuries, I think it would be very, very tough for John to have his job in 2026.
That is our guy, Tim Barbalays, joining us on the show. He does fantastic work for 105.7 The Fan out in Baltimore. It would appear that Lamar Jackson is going to miss week 5. It would also appear that he could miss a little bit of time for the Ravens. What does that mean for their playoff chances? They got a very important game against the defending AFC South champion, Houston Texans. It feels like whichever team loses that game, they need to get ready for the NFL draft. Tim, great stuff as always, man. We'll catch up with you down the line.
You got it, Carrington.
So I'm taking a closer look right now on FanDuel, and you can bet on who you think is going to make the playoffs, who you think is going to miss the playoffs, who you think they're going to win their division, all of those things. Right now, the Ravens have almost the same percentage chance of making the playoffs that the Lions and Tampa Bay Buccaneers do. doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me that that's the case. If you look at the divisional race, the Ravens are still the clear favorite in their division. It's Ravens minus 150, Steelers plus 190 in the division. The other two teams aren't even in the conversation. I get being a little bit sour on the Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, I don't want to paint it like I'm some big believer in the Pittsburgh Steelers. But, man, this Ravens team, you got to get things going, and you got to get things going real quick. It would appear that they're not going to have Lamar Jackson on Sunday. It would appear they're not going to have Lamar Jackson maybe for the month of October. Their defense can't stop anybody, and at least right now they can't run the football. So how dynamic their offense was, is it still going to be that dynamic when you remove the threat and possibility of Lamar to just break one at any given moment, and you go from one of the most mobile quarterbacks of all time to now Cooper Rush running your offense? It feels to me like it is much more pessimism about the Steelers than hope and optimism right now when it comes to the Baltimore Ravens. I'm going to tell you guys, this morning I took the Ravens to miss the postseason at plus 260. Outright, miss the playoffs, plus 260. I'm not a believer. You can't run the football. You're not going to have your starting quarterback. You can't get stops on defense. You're in a hyper-competitive AFC. I'm not buying what the Ravens are selling right now. You got to think at a minimum, you got to win 10 games in the AFC, maybe 11. You think you got to win that division? Do the Ravens to you look like a team that's going to go 10-3 the rest of the way? Because that's what we're asking. And they don't look like that kind of team to me. I am betting that the Ravens are done. You start at 1-3. It just feels like one of those everything that can go wrong is going to go wrong kind of seasons. That's how it went last year for Cincinnati. That's how it went last year for San Francisco. It's just one of those years where it feels like the Ravens will just never be able to get everything in line. They're not going to get a spark. They're not going to get hot. They're not going to be one of the worst teams in the league. But that looks like a 7 or 8 win football team to me. That doesn't look like a team that wins your division. That doesn't look like a team that grabs one of those final wild card spots again in a very competitive AFC.
I don't disagree with you, and I don't think it's a bad bet. But what I do think is of note here is they're probably pushing for a wild card. With the seven playoff teams in the NFL now, and third wild card, man, the bottom is pretty soft of the AFC. Like, let's look at who they're in competition with. The 2-2 Broncos, who their two wins have been against teams that we think very little of. And now maybe they should have beat the Colts, whatever. The 2-1 Jags, the jury is very out in the Jags. We'll know more about them in about 6-7 days. We'll know if they're for real or not. They're also competing with the Colts, who are, you know, everyone's flavor of the month, but is it still going to, you know, be a thing in 2-3 months with Danny Dimes? I don't know. I know the Bengals look terrible, but they're 2-2. Like, is Jake Browning going to get back to the guy that he looked like at times early in his career? Does he stink? I don't know. Like, the Patriots have bounced back to 2-2, but they've looked very mediocre in some of their wins. Like, I think some of the thought that the Ravens can bounce back is built on the fact, man, that 7 seed in the AFC is a lot softer looking than we thought it did 4, 5, 6 weeks ago.
Yeah, I guess I maybe haven't switched as much. Like, I actually think that the AFC as of right now is a little bit stronger than I think people had anticipated. The AFC South might get two teams, maybe the Colts and the Jacksonville Jaguars. The AFC West is as tough and as balanced of a division that we thought it was going to be. I don't feel like the AFC is softer than anticipated. I feel like it's stronger. I feel like it's more competitive. You got to get going. I don't know if 9 wins is enough in the AFC this year for you to make the playoffs. And if the Ravens are going to win double-digit games, and they already got 3 losses, you mean they got to go 10-4 the rest of the way to win 10 games? That defense isn't holding up enough with all the injuries that they have on both the offensive and defensive side of the ball. They don't have their quarterback. They don't have their left tackle right now. They don't have their best pass rusher. This Ravens team, I don't know if they got the pieces to put this thing together and really get hot in the final 3 months of the season. We can keep this conversation going. Also, let's keep it in the division. Can you tell me why people are arguing about this on TV right now? I'll explain. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by
DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't want to take too much time on this. I just would simply like to point it out. Shador Sanders spoke to the media a couple days ago, and he was just, you know, asked about, you know, how are you doing, all of those things. And Shador said that he felt like he could start in the National Football League. Now, I don't know what player in the National Football League doesn't feel like they could play or start in the National Football League, but for whatever reason, this upset Rex Ryan. Rex Ryan went on ESPN earlier this morning and he said this.
But why the hell isn't he putting Shador Sanders? We're all waiting to see the Shador Sanders be the guy or Gabriel, whatever. Something's missing. Something's missing with this kid. This kid talks. He runs his mouth like he's a, I could be a starting quarterback with his arms crossed like this. Get your ass in the front row and study and do all that. If I know, the whole league knows. Quit being an embarrassment that way. You got the talent to be the quarterback. You should be. You should be embarrassed that you're not the quarterback now.
I just want to know why the third-string quarterback for the Cleveland Browns makes people so mad. I'm looking at the depth chart right now for the Cleveland Browns, and I'm going to guess that Shador gets a chance this season because what we all thought was going to happen, well, it's happening. Their offense looks like it's led by Joe Flacco. Now, I think Dylan Gabriel gets the first shot, and he certainly should get the first shot. He was drafted earlier. I think he should get the first shot. But something tells me that at some point this season, we'll get a chance to see Shador Sanders, and it will be unfair that people will come to very big conclusions by one or two starts in a young man's career. But when you were a fourth, fifth-round pick, you don't get a year's top to start. No, you get one or two opportunities, and if you don't make the most out of those opportunities, they get rid of you and they find somebody else that can do it. So Godspeed to that, brother. I'm pulling for him. I don't know if you're pulling for him or not. I certainly would like to see him do something in the league, but I just don't know why the third-string quarterback for the Cleveland Browns, I don't know why that person makes people so angry.
Real quick, I know we don't want to spend too much time on this.
I was done. So whatever you got, I'm ready to move on after that.
Doesn't it work both ways? Why were media members talking to the third string quarterback? Like, the Chiefs are a terrible example because Patrick Mahomes exists. But pick a team in the league, even a bad team, a team where you think the quarterback is bad. Let's use the Saints. They really stink. Who's the third string quarterback for the Saints? I don't know. I'm betting you don't know. I'm betting the media in New Orleans isn't up to his locker being like, let's talk about it. Do you think you can play better than this?
That person Shador- also ain't famous either. That's where it's a little bit different.
See, this is why Shador is a lightning rod for why things like Rex
Ryan. That's why
Ryan-
a lot of teams didn't want Shador around because
you don't.
There's not a lot of famous backup quarterbacks in the National Football League. Shador is a famous backup quarterback in the National Football League. So, yes. People are absolutely going to talk to him. Coming up at the top of the hour, we are going to head to Baltimore, Maryland to get you guys some Baltimore sports talk after their loss. I want to go back to something J.J. Piccolo said. He was asked about Jack Caglione. Speaking of young guys, here is what J.J. Piccolo had to say about the Royals prospect.
We brought Cags up this year, you know, expected to get a boost there. You know, he was killing AAA, you know, doing everything he needed to do as a player to get that promotion. And the next step for him was to be in the major leagues. It didn't go as we would have liked to have gone. But we got to remind ourselves he's one of the best players in baseball. He was probably on his way to being minor league player of the year. There's a strong belief that he's going to be an outstanding major league player. The difficult thing with Cags right now is that he's beat AAA. I mean, even when he went back after his injury, he didn't miss a beat. He's beat AAA. So he's going to have to do a lot of his learning in the major leagues, but it doesn't take away from the upside, the talent, and what he's going to do. That being said, there's going to be competition. You know, we do feel like we're in a window to win with the players that we have in place. So the expectations are high. Our standards are high. So it's not going to be anything, a job that's given to him. He's going to have to earn it. But it doesn't take away from what we believe in him as a player.
I don't know if I have a really good answer for this. On one side of the coin, I don't know if I would say that Jack Caglione beat AAA. He played in less than 30 games. Now, he was phenomenal in those games. So I'm not saying he didn't beat it like he didn't have success. I'm just saying I don't know how you can come to that conclusion in just 1 month of you doing it that you have mastered it and it can't help you at all with him going back to AAA. But what he said is factually accurate. He was great for the 2 weeks that he was there. He then came up. He then went back down because of an injury, and he just continued to just absolutely crush the ball in AAA. But it does feel like right now they're a little bit stuck, where it doesn't sound like they want to put him back at AAA because they don't really think that it serves them. I also don't know how on opening day you can basically assure somebody a roster spot who hit 157 with a 237 on base percentage for you last season. So I'm still optimistic about Jack Caglione. I've not moved on from that optimism, but I would say because of his struggles that he faced basically since he got to Kansas City, he's not the shoe-in to be an opening day participant the way that we probably looked at it, I would say, 6 months ago, the way we kind of viewed it, that I don't really know what their plan is. I do feel very, very emphatic about this. Their big move cannot be, well, Jack Caglione has, no. He can be a part of whatever solution that you have. And if you go out and you make a move to get a left fielder or you make a move to get a right fielder and it's Jack Caglione, I can live with that, but I don't want them to basically do the Chiefs offseason plan. The Chiefs offseason plan was, well, we're going to bring everybody back and hope that everybody stays healthy and everybody will be better. That might work for the Patrick Mahomes team. That might work for the Andy Reid team. That's not who you guys are. So if their plan for fixing their offense is all in-house options and guys that struggled last year are now going to fix it with the same offense, the same teaching, the same coaches, no. That cannot be the plan for the Royals next season. That is a losing plan, in my opinion. That is a failed offseason if that's what they are trying to sell us in January and February, that the addition to their offense is the new and improved Jack Caglione. I'm not buying that.
I do agree with your point, though. The Royals are stuck because I would love for them to bring in, let's just use the biggest name bat out there, Kyle Schwarber. But I don't know you can go out and get a Kyle Schwarber type or someone that you believe is no doubt going to be your right fielder and Cags will get in where he fits in. But I also don't think you can, you know, waste resources and waste offseason, you know, moves on a small, you know, Adam Frazier type of outfielder and be like, Cags will have to prove it over this journeyman. And then he does in spring training, like, who cares? Kind of like happened last year with MJ Melendez. So because of his immense talent in AAA, I think he has proven you don't want to bring in like a known commodity, but because of his lack of success at the major league level, I don't think you want to, you know, you want to bring in someone to make him earn it. It is literal no man's land right now with Cags. And also, we're forgetting the fact he didn't really have a position. I know he's playing right field right now, but that is not his natural position. Like, it's not the worst problem in the world, but the Royals are an absolute no man's land with Jack Caglione.
Yeah, I actually don't really think that they're in a little bit of a no man's land. At his age and his development, him going down and getting 100 games of experience in AAA is just not the worst thing that could happen. You go down there, you get more experience. He'll be 23 years old next baseball season, and inevitably an injury happens, and it will kind of fix any log jam that you can potentially have. So I would just disagree with what you were saying. I do want them to go get a known commodity. Right now, blocking Jack Caglione is not a concern for me if I'm trying to build the roster. It's not a concern for me. These things always work themselves out. And you know what I think is a good problem for the Royals? If they got too much offense in 2026, because they didn't have nearly enough offense in 2025. So if you were telling me that they got this guy who's a proven hitter and now we're trying to figure out how to make room for your 23-year-old, I'll cross that bridge when we get there. But the thing that this Royals team has to add, they have to add someone with a proven bat that you think can get on base and generate offense for the rest of your team. They cannot leave this offseason and not acquire that and not give you the hope that the problem that existed from basically start to finish, our offense and not being able to generate, we have really worked at this problem. We've got the rotation to do it. We've got the bullpen to do it. We feel like we can go compete and win this division because of the additions and moves that we made in the offseason. Coming up at the top of the hour, we're going to head to Baltimore, Maryland, but not for an interview. Rob has given us 5 post-game calls for the Ravens. Let's hear how they sounded. Keep it right here, Sid Drive.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.